Blog Talk Radio.
Science and technology.
Co-host Susie.
Hi, everybody.
And as a reminder, when we're live, you can call in at 713-955-0575. Any topic that interests you or anything that's going on. We've kind of got some random New Year stuff going on here.
But Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year, everybody. Yeah.
We weren't here for
New Year's. We were. This is as close as we get.
As close as we get to New Year. Happy New Year.
Last Friday was last year.
Right.
And we only do every other Friday. So There you go. So, yeah. Happy New Year. have a beer for us because we're having several.
I'm having one.
We're having
several. Two.
Anyways, not a lot going on last 2 weeks because the holidays, I think.
No.
Not a lot of news stories. So we've been reaching, but we have a few, and some of them are oldies but goodies. And we'll talk about that. And hopefully,
I was even doing research.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, right. I know.
That's how desperate
that's
we were.
That's how bad we got. Susie did find one too. And it's from back in 2014, but it's kind of cool. Apparently, a strip club in Canada rented out their space to have church services on Sunday.
Yes.
Right. A group of people had an Easter service in an unlikely place Sunday. A gentleman's club in. Canadians, forgive me, Guelph, called the Manor. 6 months ago, Jack Niederbur and his wife Sharon decided they would host a Christian fellowship service at an unconventional space. Wow, I got to say, did they check to make sure that none of the strippers, like from Saturday night, were on their menstrual period? Because then you can't sit anywhere that they sat or, you know. The whole
Leviticus thing, yeah.
Yeah, Deuteronomy rules, you know, you can't, yeah, the
whatever
whole area would be unclean.
Yeah.
So how'd they do that? I don't know. But,
I don't know. That's funny, though.
Yeah.
I just thought it was kind of interesting there. The headline was, and they were preaching from the pulpit next to the stripper pole or whatever.
If they did the services while there were strippers.
That would be cool.
I might go.
Yeah,
I might actually go to
that. Might get build a church.
That would get me somewhere. I don't know.
That's
church,
funny.
But it would get me somewhere. So, yeah, that was kind of a funny one that we found. Here's one for you, which was kind of this is from Right Wing Watch. And the audio clip was way too long to put up here. And I didn't feel like editing it out. So I'm just going to give you the highlights. They were on a show for the American Family Association's Today's Issues radio program. They spent a segment talking about the Thought Police, who are criticizing gospel singer Kim Burrell, who she did a sermon. She railed against the perverted homosexual spirit. And they go on, they talk about how these Thought Police are so terrible, and they want to deny any work to anybody who believes the Christian thing, and you know, they want them out of work and ostracized from society, and they shouldn't be invited to anything, and how terrible that is. And in the very next segment, they brought up Carrie Underwood, who was invited to a Christian conference in Atlanta recently to sing a couple of songs. And they went off about how she shouldn't have been invited and she shouldn't have been performing there because she's pro-LGBT and pro-gay marriage. And that shouldn't be allowed.
Wow.
Right? I mean, total hypocrisy. What's the guy's name? Wildman.
That's a little crazy.
Tim Wildman and his co-host. And they were praising this one lady. And they were, oh, it's so, you know, she gets all this backlash for saying what she's saying. Because that's how Christians are persecuted these days. That's Christian persecution these days, by the way. If you want to know what it is, it's they say shit and people say shit back.
And that's persecution.
There's a reaction to it. Right. That's persecution.
Their opinions are all that matters.
Right. Like, I should be able to say anything I want and be able to go anywhere I want and have everybody accept me without regard to what I said. Or no, it doesn't freaking work that way. There are consequences to your speech.
Yeah.
And if you're a bigot, then you're not coming to my party.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really that simple.
I don't have
an obligation to invite you over or to invite you on the show.
And you can't.
Although, now that we have a call-in show, anybody can call in.
Not that anybody ever would. Nobody's that brave.
Yeah, 713-955-0575. Because, you know, if you're a bigot and you wanted to call in,
right,
you could call.
You could call.
I couldn't stop you from calling. But I'm going to tell you what I think of you.
Maybe if you're a Chad.
I'm going to tell you exactly what I fucking think of you at that point.
Yeah.
So, you know.
What else you got over there?
I don't know. I got other stuff, I think. This might be a really short show, folks, because I don't know.
It just might. We had to get on, but, you know, we've been going a little crazy this week and everything's just starting to calm down since the holidays, so.
I do have one here. Hang on.
Oh, good.
Here's a clip.
I like when he asks stuff.
Oh, should I tell you who this is first?
No, let us guess. Oh, come on, let us guess.
No, this is Bob Yander Platts.
Oh, you're right. I wouldn't have guessed
that. And you wouldn't have guessed that, so. And he's talking about the election, and this is kind of interesting. Well, it was to me anyway. Let's listen. It's not playing.
We thought we were going to listen.
And I've talked very openly to them that I think the one thing that Mr. Trump needs to grasp is that he did not win this election. Matter of fact, from all vantage points, Steve's included, and anybody else that's an expert in this field included, Frank Luntz or whoever you want to point to, they all had it wrong. Trump and the Trump team thought they were going to lose going into election night. And what happened was, I really believe God intervened. The people of the church mobilized. And because of that, Trump was able to win.
Okay. Trump didn't win the election because people didn't think he was going to win?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, that's not entirely true. All the places that were rating never had Trump's percentage chance of winning a zero. You know,
right.
It was like at 25, 10% chance. But you know what? You know what I think that has a 10% chance of happening means? That 1 out of 10 times it happens.
Yep.
So it happened. But here's my point. God intervened? Fucking God? Fucking creator of the universe? God intervened in our election? First of all.
No, it was the Russians.
First of all, that's foreign. Yeah, it was the Russians. First of all, that is foreign intervention. God is not an American citizen. He was not born here.
That's true.
Motherfucker. And second of all, he couldn't get in the popular vote, too? He's fucking God. Really? That's the best you can do is a squeaker in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania?
That's
the best you can
That's
do.
That's the best he could
That's
do.
That's a miracle these
Damn
days.
It.
That's what a miracle could You know, fuck parting seas and stuff that we can go, oh, yeah, that's definitely a miracle. No, a somewhat unlikely occurrence is now the best they've got for miracles. And he couldn't even manage the popular vote. Well, fuck you then. Your God sucks. He just does. He sucks. I'm sorry, but that's terrible.
It is. It's terrible.
Now, I got some crazy ass shit that I haven't even listened to. Shall we experimentally just see what we can do with this and play it? This is from Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. Remember that guy?
I do remember that guy because I remember his weird name.
And I don't even know how long this is or what's going on. I just found it and I thought, what the hell? I'll just – this is my first time hearing it too.
We've been talking a lot about the deception and how deceived so many people are, including Christians, how we just believe the bottom line that somebody else tells us. They put us in a box. We feel comfortable in that box. We don't even ever want to get out of that box. We don't want anybody poking any new information at all in that box.
what the hell's going on with his box?
He's in a box.
I mean, you know, it's like, a, what kind of box? Is your turn in the barrel kind of box? Is there a glory hole in such box? I don't know. But apparently they're very comfortable in that box. It's a comfortable box. No, you don't bottom line believe what other people tell you. Believe me. Did I not say this
you said several episodes
ago?
You did.
Don't even believe me. Double check me. If I'm wrong, call me out. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But okay, that was just the first 15 seconds. And again, I don't know what's coming.
And trying to help people understand that the greatest thing going on around us is the deception. It's the most valuable weapon that the enemy has is to deceive. In fact, he's not only a liar. He doesn't just tell lies. He's the father of lies. So this fake news and all that stuff going on around us, we have to be not ignorant of his devices and understand what's going on. So isn't it amazing that in the midst of all this electoral college and all this stuff's going on, we end up having a Russian ambassador get shot. Now, I've been all over the internet like so many of it.
Hold on a second. So far, he's not really wrong. Okay, because, you know, the fake news that we complain about, it's not always in our favor, nor is it always liberal. There's plenty of fake news against conservatives and against the Christian right. You know, the fake news goes both ways. Maybe there's more on one side than the other, but it's still out there. So he's not entirely wrong here. Now he's talking about the Russian ambassador in Turkey who was shot in Ankara a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Where's he going to go with this?
I don't know.
Allegedly shot. There's no blood in the scene. You know, those tinfoil hat guys get loose and they go in 1,000 different directions and they can create videos that really make you begin to wonder. But again,
wait, motherfucker.
Maybe he wasn't really shot.
There was no blood in the video. So the tinfoil hat guys, like,
made it all up.
Like the U.S. State Department and the government.
He's a conspiracy theory dude.
And he's calling everybody else a conspiracy theory dude. Like, everybody's a tinfoil hat guy who thinks this guy actually got shot.
That's funny.
Wow. Wow, Dave.
Again, here we are. The Russians are involved. Remember when 4 years ago when Mitt Romney mentioned the Russians and they about laughed him off the stage? And now all of a sudden the Russians are that big black bear again right in the middle of everything? Do not be ignorant of his devices and what's going on. So we saw that happen. Then over in Germany, they had what they call a truck accident where some guy mowed down 12 people, killed 12 people, injured a bunch of other people. And so in my mind, Is this stuff being orchestrated? I was reading something this morning, Russ. I'm going to give you some time.
Wait a minute. You had a terrorist attack in Germany.
Right.
Where a guy took a truck and ran through a Christmas thing.
Right.
And you have this Russian ambassador that's assassinated.
That's killed.
And then
yeah.
Somehow he goes off on... Okay. Either 4 years ago, Romney was right when he was talking about that Russians was a threat, or he wasn't right.
Right.
You can't have it fucking both ways. You can't bring that up and say, oh, yeah, now they're such a big. Either Romney was wrong then.
And he's right now.
And he's wrong now. Or he was right then, and we were wrong, and he's right now. And
no, maybe he's trying to say he was wrong then, but he's right now.
Yeah, the Russians were a threat 4 years ago, but they're not a threat now. Is that what he's saying?
I thought it was the other way around.
Fuck. Fuck you, Dave.
Time. Bear with me a second.
Oh, yeah,
I was reading something this morning about the dark side of the Central Intelligence Agency. That same dark.
Oh, yeah, the dark side of the Central Intelligence Agency. You know what that is, right? That's where the Sith work. You have Jedi on the one side of the building, and then on the other side, the Sith work over there. Yeah, and they channel their hatred, right? And they actually can do the Force lightning.
Dark side that actually took out John F. Kennedy. You're grown up enough to know that didn't happen the way they told us, right? You are grown up enough to understand that there is a very dark element of the Central Intelligence Agency, and the CIA in particular is doing everything they can to make sure that Donald Trump doesn't get to be president of the United States because he will drain that swamp. In fact, I saw that the guy he appointed to be head of the CIA is a born-again Bible-believing Christian claims that. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. His name slips my mind right now. So,
okay. Dark side of the CIA. Let me see if I got this straight.
Put
assassinated
together.
A Russian ambassador and got an Islamic terrorist to drive...
Run over a whole bunch of people.
A whole bunch of Germans. To stop Donald Trump...
From becoming
president. Because we know how bad they are, because these are the people that shot JFK.
That's what I think he's saying.
Why wouldn't they just fucking shoot Trump then?
I don't know.
I mean, if these people are so bad, they fucking shot JFK. Why would they not just shoot Trump? Why would they go through all this rigmarole? Would Darth Vader do that? Would the Empire do that? You know what?
No, he would just do his little thing and, like, squeeze the breath out of people.
Right. Did they go blow up Dantooine? No, they did not.
No.
They blew up Leia's home planet,
They blew up Leia's
home planet. What was the planet? Go ahead.
Alderaan.
Right. They blew up Alderaan.
Damn, I knew something.
Nice one. Right. Vader did not fuck around. The Emperor did not fuck around. If the dark side people in the CIA exist, as he claims, and they don't want Donald Trump to be president, and they already killed a sitting president.
Why didn't they, Dave? Yeah, I don't know.
There's still 40 seconds to this left.
All right, do his 40 seconds.
We're seeing the spiritual war break out in the natural. Don't miss what's going on. And we want to think of, again, how stupid Trump is, and he doesn't know what's going on, and he's an egotist. And I'm going to tell you something. We don't have any idea the information that Donald Trump is receiving and the people who are around him. And maybe some of these undercover people are coming up and telling the truth about what's going on.
What information Donald Trump is receiving from fucking where?
The aliens?
Not the intelligence agencies, because apparently they're the dark
side.
They're
the crazy, yeah, right? Dark side, right.
The fucking Sith intelligence agencies are telling him shit.
Because somewhere down in the depths of all that have got to be some guys who love the Lord and love America. And so we don't know what's going on other than we know that this is a spiritual war.
What the hell is a spiritual war?
I don't know.
And how does that relate to a regular war?
I think he's just making shit up as he went along.
I think so, too. That's just crazy talk. I know, right?
I know, right?
I mean, what else am I going to say? It's just Brian Fisher.
Don't say Brian Fisher.
Brian Fisher.
Don't say Brian Fisher.
George Washington said, look, a guy cannot be considered a patriot. He cannot be considered a patriotic American if he labors to subvert either Christianity or the Ten Commandments.
Okay. George Washington didn't fucking say that. What he said was there are two great pillars of in the country in his farewell address, and I'm not quoting this directly, but he said religion and morality. Not Christianity and the Ten Commandments. Religion and morality, those are different fucking words, Brian. Okay, you don't get to change words on George Washington, all right?
The essence of what it means to be a patriot, according to George Washington, the definition of patriotism, the essence of patriotism is a man who is a sincerely devoted follower of Jesus Christ and seeks to live his life by the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, he didn't say that, Brian. Because what he's quoting a piece from, or he was commenting on a piece from Washington's farewell address. And here's the problem. First of all, he distorts what he says.
Well, anything can be taken out of context, I guess.
Well, first he distorts what he says, then he tells us what the distorted thing actually means. So he's got to define the meaning of the – so it's like he didn't distort it to give us the meaning. Because then he goes ahead and gives the meaning afterwards.
He distorted it so we would believe that that was what was said, and then
right.
Gives the meaning of what he believed.
But here's to Christianity and to the Ten Commandments. That is the definition and the mark and the hallmark of a patriot. And if somebody's laboring to subvert these things, you know, George Washington said, look, I'm not talking about perfect obedience here. I know nobody's going to do that. That's why we need a savior.
No, George Washington didn't say that shit either.
I can guarantee. I don't know. I didn't look, but I can guarantee he didn't say that.
No, he didn't. It's based on...
George Washington wouldn't say that's why we need a savior.
I'm going to read the quote. Hold on. Let me read to you guys what he's talking about that George Washington said. Ready? Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness. Does that sound like Christianity and the Ten Commandments?
Not at all.
No. And does he say in there, well, you know, I know nobody's going to be perfect. That's why we need a savior. Brian is pulling that shit out of his ass.
Well,
but if somebody is out there working to undermine, to subvert these things, to work against Christianity, to work against the public acceptance and the acknowledgement of the Ten Commandments, that guy is no patriot. He is a traitor to his country. And I have no hesitation in saying that today. You want to find a traitor to your country, find somebody who is actively working to oppose Christianity and oppose the public acknowledgement of the Ten Commandments. You are looking, my friend, right there at an American.
So because I oppose Christianity and I oppose letting the Ten Commandments sit in my public buildings,
right,
then I'm not patriotic.
Right, because we should be
I'm
out
not
there.
An American.
Apparently, if you're a patriotic American, then you are out there making sure everybody's a Christian.
Okay, that leads me to no wonder why.
And he calls us traitors.
The fact that people relate religion to patriotism
is fuck
it's
nuttery.
Yeah, it's two totally different things. And then it gets all crazy because you get people on the non-believer side going, hey, you know, well, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in this. So therefore, I don't believe in allegiance to a country. So then because you don't believe in allegiance to a country, you're some bad, awful person. And it just spirals out of control.
It does. It does. I agree with
I've
you.
I've seen it. I've seen it many times, especially like with the TV when they won't salute the flag, you know.
Well, here's
they won't
the
do
thing.
The...
Here's the thing. First of all, patriotism is not nationalism. That's a false equivalence right there.
Okay, can you...
Nationalism is my country, wrong or right.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to salute the flag no matter what the country's doing because it's the flag, and the flag is the flag, and the flag is so
and
good because it's
wrong.
The flag.
Nationalism is wrong.
Okay, and patriotism is not religion.
Right.
Okay, fuck you. Very much. I served my time. I served this country and still do. But I served this country in uniform for 20 years. You wore a uniform and served this country. Fuck you, Brian Fisher. I dare you to call into this show and call one of us a traitor.
Right.
I fucking dare you. You know, because I don't know that Brian Fisher ever wore a uniform a day in his life.
So what would you define patriotism to as opposed to nationalism?
You know, patriotism is the love of one's country. Okay, you can love your country and disagree with the way it's going.
I think that's
very patriotic to do.
It's very patriotic.
Because
to
you
do.
Don't want your country to go in the wrong direction.
Right.
In fact, let me go through this because it's something that I've gone in my mind. My country, wrong or right, the nationalist view is not the patriotic view. It's the opposite of the patriotic view. Because there was a time when people thought the country was going in the wrong direction, and they called themselves patriots. They were the original patriots. And not only did they disrespect their country's flag, they fired on it.
Yep.
You know, those people thought, and if you read the Declaration of Independence, not just the first couple lines, but the bulk of it is just a laundry list of shit the king is doing wrong. This is why the king's fucked up, because he's doing all this shit wrong.
Right.
And they felt so strongly about that, they severed ties with the king.
They just left.
Right? Those are the patriots. The people who were my country wrong or right, you can't disrespect the flag, were called loyalists.
Right.
And they were Tories, and they fought for fucking England.
Right.
Because that was their country at the time. And they weren't going to disrespect their country or their king. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? I'm not even going to get into right or wrong. But they didn't claim the mantle of patriot.
Right.
So it is patriotic to criticize your country. To say, you know what? owning people is wrong. And which I'm going to bring this full circle back to Washington. Even if Brian Fisher were correct, and I think we've demonstrated that he isn't, about
right.
what Washington was trying to say, Washington did think religion was critical. Washington was wrong about shit.
Right.
And he was right about shit. He was a human. He was right about
shit. You can do
shit.
That when you're human, yeah.
You could do that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Washington fucking owned people.
Yes.
As chattel.
Yes.
As property. That was wrong. I mean, can we at least get together? That was wrong. So he wasn't right about everything he said or everything he thought. So I could simply look at that and go, yeah, that was one of the things he was wrong about.
Right.
No worries. See you later. That's the other thing about deification of the founders. They weren't gods or men. And they were wrong about a lot of shit. Read our Constitution. Read the Three-Fifths Clause. Tell me they were right about everything. So if people are like, well, the founders wanted Jesus, yeah, no, they
well,
didn't.
Thank you, Brian Fisher, for spouting more bullshit.
Right?
It always gives us something to talk about.
I know, right? He's awesome that way.
He is. Hey, if anybody wants to call in, by the way, Bill has the number, don't you, babe?
I do. It's 713-955-0575. I don't think anybody's going to call in now.
Okay, but if you decide to call in, I just want you to know that next week I am embarking on an adventure to go to see my religious half of my family.
Yeah.
And I plan dinner. I haven't seen them in 4 years since my stepdad's funeral. And we plan dinner at a kind of neutral location. But I was wondering if anybody wants to call in and give me advice, I'm all for it. Because
not only that, if you're a Southern California listener.
Oh, yeah.
You should send Susie an email, sbury@yahoo.com. And you should buy her dinner.
Because
she's going to be out there for a week.
I will be in Redondo Beach. We are staying in Redondo Beach. I have class in Carson. And I'm visiting family in Orange. And I used to live in Anaheim. And
yeah, she's willing to hang out for beers or
I will
dinner.
Hang out, oh my God, for a beer, of course. Absolutely. I'm bringing my friend Kathleen with me. You will love her.
So, yeah.
But I'm really nervous about this dinner. I really am.
Yeah, well, if there is anybody out there listening live,
they don't like
I don't
me.
Think there is. But if you're out there, give her a shout, call in, or send her an email.
They don't like me.
Yeah, I know they don't. I know that, but I like you. So you're coming back
That's
here
important.
When it's all over.
That's
so.
Important.
So there is that. Should we do some more? I think it's going to be a short show. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and skip ahead. And we're going to jump into the Bible segment. We'll come back and do a few more news stories when we're done. But for now, by the way, while we got here, I want to apologize to the listeners. I forgot to upload episode 71, so it never went out on the feeds until like an hour ago. So a lot of people might be listening to episode 71 right now.
But at least they got it.
When we had asked for people to come on and do Bible with us. So I guess nobody really got that message. You just need to send me a clip of you critiquing a Bible story, and we'll get you on to record some. Susie and I just recorded the two chapters you're going to hear
tonight.
Yeah,
you don't have to be any good at it.
We'll sit down and record about 10 chapters with you, and we'll do it like we do with Jeremiah, and we'll use that over a period of shows. But anyway, so Bible segment time.
I love Bible segment.
And that gives us our restroom break on this end. So, without further ado, and I really need the two screens here.
Further ado.
Yeah, there's a lot of ado going on here.
There's
right?
a lot of ado. A
lot of ado.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three. Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see. Into your imagination.
Sorry, kid. I don't believe in fairy tales.
Jeremiah chapter 9. Susie, go.
I liked it, I guess.
You liked it?
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
This is what she liked.
No, there's a reason I liked it, because it made me think of House.
House?
House.
Everybody lies?
Yes, in verse 4, it says, for every one of them is a deceiver. And I said, oh, everybody lies.
So, right. So, well, if everybody's a liar, then how do we believe this guy?
Of course,
this is God supposedly speaking, right?
A guy.
He's a god.
Yeah, a god.
He's speaking. And like in verse 7 here, it's, see, I will refine and test them, for what else can I do because of the sin of my people? Now, what kind of God is like, I don't know what else to do, so this is what I'm going to do. What else can I do?
Funny.
I don't know.
I don't know. What else should I do? And then
and
I started thinking about
omniscient beings don't test shit. They just know shit.
And
that's the point of being omniscient. You don't have to test anything.
And when you have omniscient and omnipotent, you also have loving God, right? So in verse 9 where he goes, should I not punish them for this? Should I not avenge myself? And then in so many verses that go through this thing, he talks about all these mean, awful things he's going to do
to
these people.
Like in 11 where he says, I will make Jerusalem a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals. I will lay waste the towns of Judah so no one can live there.
Yep. And in verse 15 where he says, I will scatter them among nations that they nor their ancestors have known, and I will pursue them with the sword until I have made an end of them.
Right, and just a few verses prior to that, it's funny. He's saying why? Because they followed the balls.
Because they followed the balls.
Verse 13 or 14. Instead, they have followed the stubbornness of their hearts. They have followed the balls.
Nice.
As their ancestors taught them. Which basically, isn't that what God's people follow?
Balls.
The ones that their ancestors taught them.
Right.
I mean, isn't that how this religious thing perpetuates itself?
That is.
I mean, yeah, I know. Okay, there's occasional converts, but most of people who say Christian follow because their parents were.
Right.
That's what they were taught. Or they grew up in a country that's predominantly Christian, and that's what they were taught. And then they start going on with whaling. There's a lot of whaling happening. And not the kind with the big mammal in the ocean. Not that whaling. This is like the whining. Basically, this is God saying, I'm going to make them cry. Watch. Well, I bet I can make them cry.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
And then in verse 22, he declares, dead bodies will lie like dung in the open field, like cut grain behind the reaper with no one to gather them. I'm going, boy, this guy is so mean. He's such an awful jerk. And then in verse 24, he says, I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight.
Right. And then the last verse of this chapter is priceless. I'm going to read the whole thing. Here we go. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh. Egypt, Judah, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and all who live in the wilderness in distant places, for all these nations are really uncircumcised. And not even the whole house of Israel is circumcised, and even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart.
Do they have to bring up dicks?
What the hell does that even mean? And how can you be uncircumcised in heart? Does that mean you didn't cut the tip off your heart dick? What's a heart dick?
When you were, 8 weeks old and they cut the tip off your dick, you didn't put your heart into it.
I guess, or like,
I don't know.
You know, turn on your heart dick. Let it bone wherever you go.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Let it make a happy heart on for everyone to see. I don't understand. Anyway, that's chapter 9. Okay, that was chapter 10, Susie.
What did you think about it?
I thought, it's funny because they talk about the whole gods and idols thing and all through it. And it's interesting. Verse 3, for the practices of the peoples are worthless. They cut out a tree in the forest, and a craftsman shapes it with his chisel. They adorn it with silver and gold, and they fasten it with hammer and nails so it will not totter. Like, who adorns trees with silver and gold? Nobody does that. Nobody brings trees in their house and decorates them.
Stuff all over them.
Makes them all. No.
That's funny. I didn't even think about it that way. Yeah. Those first five verses, though, I was going, It was a.
You know, verse 5 is really funny, right? Like a scarecrow in a cucumber field, their idols can't speak.
Right.
Like, why that kind of field? Can other scarecrows speak? I mean, are they trying to, well, except for that guy in the Wizard of Oz, of course, because we know he could talk. I don't know. It's weird. It says they must be carried because they cannot walk.
But they do not fear them. They can do no harm, nor can they do any good. They can't do any harm or any good.
And then who cares?
Yeah.
Then they matter not. But right. Apparently they matter because. And why is this Yahweh character, this G-D guy, why is he so upset about them?
I don't know.
If they don't do harm and they don't do good, they're nothings.
Because they're making these things.
How do you get jealous of a thing that doesn't exist? I wonder.
Don't know.
No one is like you, God. You're so great. I mean, we go through that for a couple of verses here. And then we hear about the hammered silver and the craftsman and the goldsmith have dressed everything up in blue and purple.
Right.
But God's like Uber.
Right. Can you explain to me, please, because I really don't know and I'd really like to, in verse 16, he who is the portion of Jacob.
I think they're saying descendants of.
Okay, because yeah. I was thinking of like, wow.
But
you don't
check out verse 11. Things. Tell them this. These gods who did not make the heavens of the earth will perish from the earth and under heavens. Because they didn't make the heavens and the earth.
Right.
Our God, the really real God, made the heavens and the earth.
Yep.
I mean, really, that's kind of what they're saying.
It's God,
like,
not that God.
Yeah, but our God's better than your God because he made the heavens and the earth, and your God did. Because the book about our God
says
that our God.
He did.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And he sends lightning with the rain and brings the wind from his storehouses. There isn't a storehouse somewhere with wind in it.
Apparently there is.
No, there is not. That is not how wind works.
I always thought he sneezed.
God opens the door to his storehouse and breaks wind. That's what's going on. So the storehouse is really his asshole. That's not how fucking wind works.
That's not the way the wind works at all.
And there's going to be some more destruction. And this guy's whining about how bad it is. And God's going to make sure everybody's captured because they
really
got captured.
He's really lazy, though, because in verse 20, he's
right.
He's talking about how no one's left now to pitch my tent or to set up my shelter. I'm like, because
his kids are gone.
Guess you shouldn't have fucked with everybody, huh?
Well, I mean, like, put your own fucking tent up. How about that?
Right.
Right? Because how did you get your tent up before you had kids?
Right.
Right? I mean, and shepherds are senseless. Yeah, I guess that maybe they are. I don't know. Maybe they'd be lawyers if they weren't. I don't know. And then Jeremiah gives a little prayer. But then he talks about, please don't beat me too badly, God. That's really what his prayer is.
Don't beat me in your anger.
I know people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. So what? There's no free will?
Yeah, I saw a meme like that one time, and it just drove me crazy. Because it was
this,
like, forgive me, God, for using my actual mind.
This is the problem with the Bible, okay? It keeps going back from the free will. You have free will. You don't have free will.
You do, you don't. Yeah.
And then he talks about discipline me, but only in due measure, or you'll reduce me to nothing. And, those other nations that don't acknowledge you, kill them. And he says, because they ate Jacob. Well, I mean, the people of Jacob. They corrupted him.
They ate Jacob.
They devoured him completely.
They totally devoured him completely.
All right, that was chapter 10. Well, that was your Bible segment. And again, we are inviting folks to come record the Bible with us simply because we need the company. It's terrible. It's awful. It's an awful, awful, awful book.
Yeah. It seems to be really, really long, too. I mean, are we done yet?
No, we
just did chapter 10, right?
Of Jeremiah.
Right.
Yeah, we're still in the Old Testament. We haven't even got to Jesus yet.
I want to get to Jesus. I want to come to Jesus.
How about a couple more things?
Things. What do you got? You got things?
Yeah, I do, actually. I got a couple that I wanted to hit. I'm going to skip, and it'll be on the link, so sue me.
Oh, by the way, thanks, Wendy, for listening. I just want to say that, because we do have a listener, at least one.
And another shout-out to Elsa, who called last week for sending you a calendar.
Yes, thank you, Elsa, for sending me my calendar.
From Down Under.
Awesome. I think I got a couple more in the mail from another listener. And
there was a story on Right Wing Watch about how 45% of Common Core is Islamic indoctrination.
Common Core?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like what educational standard. But
oh, Common Core education.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you meant.
Apparently the right is very against that. We shouldn't have common educational standards in the country. I think we should, because I think a high school diploma here should mean the same thing as a high school diploma in Alabama.
Yes.
You know, you should have a high school diploma. Here's one, and people were kind of upset about this. This is, as of today, this is from ABC News. An atheist complaint has led South Carolina's troopers to stop using state money to send a book, including Bible passages, to the family members of people who die in wrecks.
Huh.
I want to say I wanted to cover this story because we did a grieving episode not that long ago. We had a little over a year ago.
Right.
And you know what? Nothing can piss you off more than going to a funeral and having some fucking preacher up there selling Jesus
while you're trying to grieve. Yeah.
Okay. Even if you're a Christian, that can piss you off. Okay. And the thing is, they're using state money, and they're sending it just to everybody who's lost. I understand. You know what? It's a noble intent. They want to bring some comfort to people who have lost someone in a car accident. Gotcha. I'm with you that far. However, let's just put it in perspective here, folks. What if it's not your religion? What if the state troopers in South Carolina, for some reason, because the person in charge was a Muslim?
Right.
And they were sending out quotes from the Quran to comfort you. They'd be up in freaking arms over that.
Yeah.
They'd be crazy over that. And you know what? When people are grieving is not the time to push your religion. Let me say that again. When people are grieving is not the fucking time to push your religion. Because a lot of people are likely to push it right back at you.
Right.
You know? Like right down your throat, along with a tooth or two. Because it's, and yes, it was a American Humanist Association took issue with this, and they have decided, okay, we're not going to do this anymore. All right, they're sending, you can't use state money to do that. It's wrong. So good on them that we want, but, you know, and I actually was in the comments on it today, and I said, somebody said, well, this helps people. No, it only helps the people who happen to follow the same religion you do. Give them the impression that everybody follows their religion and their religion is everything and that the government is behind them and their religion. And it's not. And it's not the time. Don't they have a church? I mean, if they're a religious person, they have a church.
They have a church that they can go to their own.
That they can go to and get that. You know, a sympathy card, yeah, I'm all for that. You know, if you want to do that and, you know, hey, we're thinking of you and,
right.
And we hope that you find comfort in this time of loss, wherever you find it.
Right. Whatever does it for you.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to send something out blanket and you're going to use government funds to do it and it's going to be a government thing, then you have to be neutral about it.
Yeah.
You have to send something neutral. And, yeah, something, a simple statement like that, we hope you find comfort in this trying time, would be perfect because it would be universal. Like, you know, Christians would, yeah, they're going to find it in their church.
Right.
And I'm going to find it in my, you know, my way.
Bottle of
and,
beer.
Well, no. Well, maybe. But that's what we should be doing. And that shouldn't even be a controversy. Yet it is.
Yet it is. I know.
And I know that people were trying to do the right thing. Really trying to. Didn't work. There's a couple here that I want to cover, and I want to get Susie's opinion on them. here's one from our own state of Pennsylvania. And apparently an upstate woman's constitutional right to freedom of and freedom from religion wasn't violated when her hometown allowed the installation of a roadside sign for a church, a federal appeals court has concluded. Now, this roadside sign was paid for by the church. It wasn't that the government put up a sign for the church. It was that the church put up a sign. Do you think it violated the state church-state barrier just because it was on a road?
Well, it depends. No, I don't really. No. It depends on how picky you get. The roads, okay, look, somebody might say the roads are owned by the state.
Yes.
So therefore, you can't put anything on the road that has to do with religion.
Which is what she said. That was her argument.
But, yeah, that's splitting hairs really bad.
And it's stupid.
It is kind of going a little overboard.
Because I don't necessarily agree with that.
If it doesn't hurt anybody.
Well, if the government doesn't put it up.
And it's not made to.
That to me is the essential issue. Who put it up?
Right. The church put it up.
You know, and if I want to put up a atheist ballroom down the street,
right.
I should be able to do that
right.
too.
Yep.
And that's fine. And that's as long as it's open to everybody. And I believe it is.
It's like building a church. You're building a church in the city.
And the
is
only,
that part of state?
Yeah. The area that she was pointing to was that the township put the sign back up when it had blown down in a storm.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
But no, as long as the township would put anybody's sign back up, I don't think we have a problem here. And that's why
I called this one
and the other one going too far. This lady went too far. She's wrong. And I would have to stand for the Baptist Church free speech rights at this point. It's a public thoroughfare. They have the right to put up their sign.
Right.
That's one of the reasons I get so upset fire brandy. When people get upset about the atheist billboards that American Atheist puts up.
Right.
Fuck you. How many church billboards do I pass every day?
I know.
All the time. They're everywhere. It can't be in bad taste and an affront and insulting to put up a contrary view once in a while.
I had a friend who used to work for a billboard company, and I asked her one time what the company's – and it's kind of cool because – whether or not your billboard goes up is the company's decision.
Right.
If the company believes in God and is religious and you want to put up an anti-religious billboard, they're going to say no. But that's their right.
And they can do that, yeah, because it's a private company.
Right. I just thought it was neat.
You know, but that doesn't prevent you from finding some land and putting up your own billboard. That, you know, you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have the money to do it and
absolutely.
Have the thing built. And
if you're a church, you can put up a sign.
And they do. But so it's important, folks, that the religious have their right to speak and
right.
their right to put up their signs.
Right.
Because that's where our right to say, you know what, this religion thing is bullshit comes from.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's what protects our right to speak out against it. Their free speech rights are as important as ours. They're tied together. They're one thing. So, yeah, that one I think went a little too far. And, you know, we should say it when it happens.
You said you had two that went a little too far, right?
Yeah. This one's from Georgia, where our friends Bobby and Ashley reside. There has been a pushback on the Georgia established a goals program in 2008, which provides a tax deductible return for citizens who donate to the private school of their choice. Now, there's a thing called the Blaine Amendment that said that couldn't go to religious organizations. Now, when the Blaine Amendment originally came in Georgia law, it was in the 19th century. Designed to target Catholic schools. okay, because they didn't want people to be able to contribute to Catholic schools and get a tax deduction.
Right.
Now, I don't agree with that. And I do agree that, you know what, if you contribute, and I don't agree with the fact that religious organizations get automatic charitable status.
Right.
But let's say we fix that in a perfect world.
Mm-hmm.
Like they got charitable status the same way that any other non-religious organization would get charitable status. Prove they're doing good works. If you contribute.
They don't?
No, they get automatic because they're religious.
Okay.
They're charitable until proven otherwise.
That's stupid.
It is extremely stupid. In fact, there are more churches in this country than there are homeless people. So they're not all fucking charitable.
That's true.
I mean, there wouldn't be any homeless people. If every church, and not, you know what, every church wouldn't have to take one homeless person.
Just a piece of one?
Yeah, just a piece of one. In fact, the bigger churches could maybe take two or three people and lift them out of homelessness.
Wow.
So, you know, no. Anyway.
That's just, okay.
You're tracking me off, Mike.
Sorry, I digress.
But I do agree that if a religious organization is considered a 501c3, they're a tax, nonprofit.
Right.
And you make a contribution to them, that should be tax deductible.
Absolutely.
That's why when I send money to American Atheist or Camp Quest or wherever I want to send money to, that's tax deductible.
Right.
So that's fair. That's parity. So, yeah, I don't agree with trying to dry up their funds that way. I think we need to do it with speech, with more speech, with talking about, hey, why it's a bad idea. Not necessarily with the with trying to restrict them that way.
Yeah, I agree.
So shall we? I hesitate to call it a counter-apologetic because I agree with some of what's in it. But
that's kind of crazy then.
Well, I'm going to do it anyway.
Oh, by the way, just while you're thinking about it, if you want to call in, the number is 713-955-0575.
Yeah, now would actually be a great time before I start this next segment. You want to comment on any of the stories we've done so far or whatever?
Tell us what you're drinking. Who cares? Just call.
Just say howdy.
Just say howdy.
Anyway, so we'll blitz onward to the counter-apologetic segment. And if there's any calls, there's calls. If there's not, oh well.
Because you have to know everything or have revelation from somebody does to know anything.
But it's the moment the skeptic, that free-thinking, agnostic, atheist, whatever, begins to challenge the God of the Bible.
Behold, the atheist's nightmare. Everybody believes in God, but some have decided to suppress that truth.
Hey, Bill, I just want to let you know that there actually is a book out there that actually tells us where matter came from.
Easy, man. I've got you.
You've got me. Who's got you?
Welcome to the bar room. I'm Bill here with my co-host Susie. When he does this, he's equivocating.
What we're talking about in a laboratory, there is no other side of the coin.
Right. You're trying to get to the truth.
Right.
Well, you know, fact fucking matters.
In some states, not in Oklahoma.
What they're doing is they're straw manning natural selection. So back the fuck off before I shove a Nimbus 2000 up your ass and ride you all the way back to Azkaban.
Okay, for our counter-apologetic, I chose an article this week. And, you know, I will do some of the big arguments if anybody wants me to, but you got to send that in to me. Tell me what you want to do. Again, kudos to Elsa for sending something in the other day.
All right.
But this was by a Dr. Benjamin Corey. And it says shit. It's all not shit. It's characters.
Yeah.
Rather than, yeah. It's S percentage hashtag T. I wish atheists, and it has some in parentheses, like really small, would stop doing and saying. So I want to address his article because I agree with some of it, but I don't agree with all of it. And he's a liberal Christian. Okay. So he's a Christian we consider an ally on many issues.
Okay.
So you're an atheist. Great. I'm a Christian. Here's the thing. I don't have an issue with you. Some of my best friends are atheists. And over the course of the last few years, I've been purposeful about building bridges with the atheist community. Because you know what? There's a lot we actually have in common when you move past the question of the existence of a divine being. that is true. And I agree with him, and I laud his efforts for doing that. But he's got here are his objections. I'm going to summarize here because I don't want to read the whole article. Stop saying or insinuating that we're a bunch of uneducated or unenlightened idiots. You're not.
Not everybody does that.
No, and I only do that about uneducated and unenlightened idiots. Being a Christian doesn't make you one. I agree 100%. It doesn't make you uneducated. It doesn't make you unenlightened. However, I think I am fair to say some are.
The problem is when we think of educated, we think scientific. And if you are scientific, then you can't believe in a fucking sky daddy.
Well, maybe you can. Maybe you can. I mean, some great scientists have. They just compartmentalize that part of their thinking with the rest of
it. So they need proof for everything else in the world, just not that. Okay.
I think you can't be a good skeptic and be a Christian. I would agree with that. But certainly you can believe science is science and God is God, and those two things are separate. And people do it, and I recognize that. However, some of the people that I deal with are uneducated.
Yes.
Are
unenlightened. People that we all deal with are uneducated.
So I hope, and I think we tried to put the caveat out on the show many times. If this isn't you, we're not talking about you. Okay, when we talk about religion, yeah, we sometimes paint a broad brush. But it's because we're responding to the kind of things we heard earlier, like Dave Dobenmeyer, like Brian Fisher, who are idiots.
Right, and anything Pat Robertson says.
And anything Pat Robertson says, including, if he gives you directions to the fucking McDonald's.
Yeah.
Anything Pat Robertson says. Please stop insisting that we read our Bible like right-wing fundamentalists. Because their problem is – go ahead.
I was just going to say something about that. I have a problem with that because that's one of my – that's where I get stuck because I have Catholics – that say, we don't read the Bible.
Or they don't read it like that.
Right. And then how do you go, well, but you're still a fucking idiot.
Then the Bible isn't a source for you. I'm sorry, it isn't. And I understand hermeneutics, and I understand that there are different ways to read and see what the Bible has to say about things. And they start at the beginning, and then they read everything it has to say about that particular issue all the way to the end. And yeah, get that. Get that. Also bullshit, but it's bullshit that takes longer to explain.
Right.
Okay? Because, frankly, let's be honest, the Bible wasn't written in the order of those books. So why would you read from beginning to end, putting more weight on the end?
But how do you tell a Catholic, how do you say you're still full of shit to a Catholic who says, well, I don't read the Bible?
Well, then you don't argue the Bible. Truthfully, you don't argue the Bible. You say, okay, you don't think the Bible's true then. And most of them don't. Most of them think it's allegorical or it's symbolic.
Parables. They're just stories that relate to issues.
Right.
They're
like Aesop's fucking fables.
Right.
Okay. Then you take another tact. Then you ask them why they fucking believe in the first place. Okay, well, why do you believe it? And you go from there. So, yeah, that's fine. I will stop insisting you read your Bible like a right-wing fundamentalist if you stop insisting that your Bible is a source of moral authority. If you're going to make that claim, then I'm going to pull out what's literally in your Bible. And I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I don't see the Bible as a source of moral authority. And we've been covering
disgusting.
It on the show.
Yeah.
There's a lot of problems we have with it. We're post-Bible morality. Sorry. And I understand that. And he says, let me read his last line of this paragraph, though. That's the type of unenlightened, ignorant nonsense that fundamentalists do with the Bible. And I know you'd hate to be associated with them. Well, yes and no. No, because I hope I'm not being ignorant and nonsensical, but that's what the book says. You still have to deal with that.
Yeah.
And I think it's fair for me to ask you how you deal with that. Hey, the book says slavery is okay. How do you deal with that and still call it a moral book? I think that's a fair charge. So
it is.
Next one. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Please stop referring to our belief systems as fairy tales. This is a tough one. I'm going to read the whole thing here because this is a tough one. I'm not sure the best way to break this down, but here's my beef. Following the religious / ethical views written by Moses or the teachings of Jesus, love your neighbor, love your enemies, is not the same thing as going to Disneyland and believing that Mickey is an actual real-life talking mouse. It's not the same thing as believing there actually was an old woman who lived in a shoe, had so many children she didn't know what to do. Religious / ethical beliefs and fairy tales are not the same thing. Every time I hear this fairy tale insult, my inner Samuel L. Jackson voice kicks in and screams, it's not in the same ballpark. It's not in the same symbols game. Pulp Fiction reference for you.
You have to think about it, though, differently. When we as atheists refer to the shit you're spouting as fairy tales, it's because we think you get it out of a book, and fairy tales come out of a book. It's the book reference.
No, it's not just that. It's You know, following the religious / ethical views written by Moses. Do you really?
No, they don't.
Because I don't think you do. And
Moses
that goes back to the previous one.
That, exactly.
With, you know, all these things were written down. And also.
But that's my point about written. The fact, the way. When we say your fairy tale, it's a stupid fairy tale. The reason why we're saying that is because we read in books. I'm telling you, it's because we read in books fairy tales.
No.
Cinderella was in a book. How did you learn about Cinderella the very first time?
And
in a book.
And I think he wrongly conflates religious / ethical here. Okay, a fairy tale can have an ethical message. Many of them do. I mentioned Aesop's fables earlier. They have ethical messages while not being true, while still being fiction. You could go to Disneyland and look at the teachings of Mickey Mouse and say, oh, that's a good thing to live by. Okay. That doesn't make Mickey Mouse less of a fairy tale. Spider-Man's Uncle Ben said, with great power comes great responsibility. Now, I think that's a good statement. That's an ethical statement that makes a lot of sense. It doesn't mean I believe Spider-Man is real or any less of a fairy tale. He is also a fairy tale.
Well, maybe it's just my personal view, but Mickey Mouse was never a fairy tale.
Well, like,
this is what I'm trying to get across. The reason why I specifically, and I'm not saying anybody else, refer to the belief in God as a fairy tale is because it comes out of a book, a very old book.
So does Spider-Man.
I don't know that because I don't read comic books. That's a comic book. I don't do that. But that's why I say it's a fairy tale, because it comes out of a book. Like, Santa Claus is not a fairy tale. He's just a mythical figure, not a fairy tale.
Oh.
Mickey Mouse, not a fairy tale, just a mythical
figure. Oh, okay. So what you're doing is you're categorizing fairy tales being like Brothers Grimm.
Right. Anything.
Yeah.
Because they come out of a book. And that is
That's the thing.
Jesus is. He came out of a fucking book.
Well, yeah, but
so he's fake.
True things also. Let me play
Angel's Advocate, right.
True things also come out of books, too.
Right.
So, are they fairy tales because they come out of books?
No. But fairy tales are fairy tales because they're in books.
I think what it relates to is the truth of the claim.
Right.
Okay. And to adopt the ethics of something that's in fiction. I mean, 1984 is one of my favorite books. And it has an ethical message. Absolutely. I don't believe it's real, though. I don't have to believe something's real. Or Harry Potter. Harry Potter's another great example.
But, babe, listen, though.
Because Harry Potter's a fairy tale.
Look, though, it says fiction.
Right.
Where is the Bible when you go to a bookstore?
The religious section.
Not in the fiction section.
No.
But religious has its own section.
Yeah.
It's not in nonfiction, you notice.
Stop turning your head away from the mic, but yeah.
It's not in nonfiction. It's just fiction.
Right.
Or it's just religious.
Right. Oh, so that's his complaint, but I don't think it's a valid complaint. And you know what? He says it's not in the same category, but he never explains why it's not in the same category. I mean, if I call it a fairy tale, what I'm essentially saying is that it's a fiction. And I've actually, I use the word fiction many times. Maybe lay off the whole religion hasn't done any good for humanity type of argument because it's obnoxiously untrue. Well, maybe. Maybe. I mean, certainly religious people, and he goes on and talks about charitable organizations and hospitals. And, yeah, certainly religious people have done a lot of good for humanity. I don't know that necessarily their religion did good. I don't know that they did as much good as they could have without it. I don't know that it didn't contribute. I wouldn't necessarily take the position that it hasn't done any good for humanity. I will take the position that it's done a lot of harm to humanity, and that harm is not necessary to get the good that religious has done. Other unifying ideas can substitute.
Right.
And not do the kind of harm that religion has done. So, no, I don't subscribe to the religion hasn't ever done any good for humanity thing. No, because I agree with him. It is untrue.
Right.
So, see, I told you I was going to agree with him now and again. Okay. Let me just read you his closing here. And I'd like to have this guy on. It'd be nice if he called in sometime. Not every Christian is Ken Ham building a modern ark to transport dinosaurs. Not every atheist is Richard Dawkins or the anonymous internet troll who dehumanizes people of religion while acting as if they are morally superior. I'll keep working with my tribe to reform it from the inside, but these are just a few things I wish we could dial back from within your tribe. If we work individually and reforming our own cultures, we might just find a different future for all of us. Yes, yeah, no. I do think that an honest search for truth is morally superior to the negation which most, not all, but most Christianity embodies. They don't want to search for truth. They, in fact, in the Catholic Church, the largest Christian denomination by far, it's bigger than all the other ones combined. It's a sin to question the existence of God in your mind.
What, they got like mind police?
No, really. Thought crime. Yeah, it's sins.
How do they
enforce a
thought crime?
If you think about doing a sin, that in itself
is
a sin. Yes.
And you have to go to confession and confess that.
So questioning
that. Oh my God.
The existence or the truth of the doctrine is in itself a sin.
That's crazy.
Therein, you have a problem. So, yeah, I don't know. And the problem is, the other problem I have is, these tactics work. Sometimes the shaming tactics and the shock tactics and the firebrand tactics, and Dave Silverman does a much better speech on this than I do, work. They shock people into rethinking their views. Maybe not that day, but another day. And what's true is important.
Right.
And I think we've been stamping on this show after show because it relates to these fake news stories.
Right.
If what's true isn't important, then you just believe InfoWars if you want to, because that's fine. That's your belief system. No. Fucking no. That's
fucking
not
no.
How wind works. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, that's all I got on this counter. I'll put I'll definitely make sure that link gets in the thing. And it was a good, thoughtful article. Don't get me wrong. I'm not busting on this person who wrote it, this Dr. Benjamin Corey. I disagree with him in some spots, and I agree with him in others. So that's your counter-apologetic for today.
Yay. I think you've lightened up a little.
No. I'm okay. I haven't lightened up. Sometimes I like to tailor how firebrandy I am with who I'm dealing with.
Makes sense.
You know, because, like, I read this thing from Dr. Corey, and I'm like, I think it's doctor. Am I giving him a doctor he doesn't deserve? Hold on a second. Yeah, no, it's doctor. Okay. I read this thing from Dr. Corey, and I say, well, okay, here's a guy that I might be allied with on numerous issues.
Right.
I still think the Jesus thing is complete bullshit, and laughably so. But if he said, if he were to call me up and say, Bill, I want to go protest this anti-LGBT bill that's going on because I think it's wrong for my reasons and you think it's wrong for your reasons. Will you join me in that? I'd go yes.
But okay, so in that same vein, could you really, like, and I say this from personal experience, can you really be friends and try to communicate, like, on a daily basis with somebody whose beliefs are so nuts?
Well, it depends. Like I said, I don't think this guy's, the way he applies these beliefs is necessarily nuts.
He believes in God, Bill. Hello,
yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, but if he also believes in equality for all people, can we stand together on the equality issue and disagree on the other?
Okay,
yes.
Let me just say. Let's say this guy sacrifices babies to make soup on the weekends, and he believes in that. If he still believes in LGBT rights, are you still going to?
No, of course not. Of course not, because he's doing, no, he's actually doing harm.
Okay,
and I understand.
Anyone who believes in God is actually doing harm.
Wow, are we so on the opposite end of the debate that we were 2 weeks ago? But in a little ways we are.
Wow.
Yeah, but here's the thing. No, because your baby person, which you just made up, pulled out of your ass.
I did pull that out of my ass.
Is harming people. Like real, actual, tangible harm.
Religion harms people.
Yes.
If you believe in religion, you are contributing to harming people.
Yes, and the argument can be made that liberal Christianity gives cover to fundamentalist Christianity. Because if it's okay to believe that crazy shit, then they're just believing that crazy shit harder.
Right.
Yes, I understand that. But I also understand that if somebody wants to do good in the world,
then we're just going to forget what the bad they do?
Is he doing bad? Not all Christian sects do bad.
You're right. They don't all sacrifice babies.
Right. They don't all sacrifice babies. They don't all hate people. They don't all preach hate. And we should make the distinction when we're talking to people. And I can be kind and I can be open to talking to someone who maybe has a more liberal view. No problem. What I can't do, but don't ask me to say it's okay that you believe that.
Right.
Don't ask me to endorse your belief. It's not okay to believe the way he does. It's not.
But if you agree on some issue that he agrees on, then you can find a common ground.
We can work together on that issue.
Right.
Especially if you're not a person who's hurting other people in other ways. No, you know what? No. And no, would I ally with a outright racist who supported LGBT rights? No. I'm sorry, but you have this abhorrent thing. The fact that you believe some weird stuff doesn't necessarily make you a court.
Right.
So, Susie, tell them the contact. We're going to wrap this up.
Oh, our contact information? God, you always put me on spot. Okay,
it's
so,
the same as it ever was.
I need to write it down and read it every time.
Well, you should do that. That would be like doing something for the show.
That would be. Okay, so we have the Barroom Atheist Facebook page. If you haven't visited that, please go visit. Give us a like, because we haven't had a like in a while, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, we always have likes.
We've had a bunch of likes.
Thanks for all your likes. Anyhow.
We're over 1,300 now.
Twitter. I don't use my Twitter anymore. We're not counting my Twitter ever again. But if you want to updates on the show, you can at Barroom Atheist. That's our Twitter page for updates on the show. If you want to watch Bill fight with everybody, is it at Shaper079?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's Bill's Twitter page.
What if they wanted to email us?
Okay, if you want to email us, Bill's email is bill.robbins819@gmail.com, and mine is sbirry@yahoo.com. That's sbirry@yahoo.com.
Speaking of emails,
mm-hmm.
I got a couple recently. We got a couple recently. First of all, somebody commented thanking us for coming back and talking about the quality of the audio, which I wasn't really happy with in episode 70. I hope 71 is better. I hope 72 is also better. Please let me know. I welcome those comments because I'm dealing with a new system of recording, and I would like to know if there's a problem. Also, we got an email from an incarcerated atheist.
We did, and that was the title of the email.
Right, and I don't know what this person – yeah, I don't know any other details, but apparently they're in there for a long stretch.
20-year stretch, he said.
Yeah. My heart goes out to him. Really, I'm thinking of you, and heck, if you want to email us back and, you know, tell us your particulars, maybe we can send a care package or whatever. People can make mistakes, and believing or not believing in God doesn't draw that line. And here's the this person brought up something that I've long suspected, and it now gives me anecdotal evidence of that maybe the number of atheists in prison is kind of underreported, because they did say, you know, hey, well, when the parole board comes around, a lot of people find Jesus. That was in their email.
It was,
and which makes a lot of sense to me.
It was interesting too that this individual, and really, we have I can't even gender identify this person because
they didn't say.
But apparently, we inspired this person to speak up about putting things in, like, in the office, apparently, in the warden's office or whatever that they walked by. She had the person had the sign that said something religious on it. And he would say he would walk by that every day, and previously he would probably have let that slide, but since they were listening to our show, you know, they thought it was inspirational, and this person actually said something to them. I thought it was kind of cool, you know, that, well, first of all, okay, it's super cool. We are in prison.
Yes.
Secondly, it's super cool that this person in prison has access to email and can email us. And I really appreciate that we get feedback like that from every walk of life, you know?
It's awesome. And, you know, to that person, look, I don't know your history. I don't know what you did. But you still have value. And we do care. And we're really glad that this little thing we do, that Susie and I do as a hobby, has helped you in some way. And I hope that when you get out, you know, that your life takes a turn for the better. I really do. But it was an interesting email, and it was most appreciated. I didn't know how much we could really share, so we've just been kind of glossing over it.
Yeah.
But it was cool. It was very cool. You got anything else, my love?
No, I was just reading the email.
You're rereading. See, Susie's read it about 2 dozen times.
Yeah.
It really is that cool.
It really is that cool. So thank you to our anonymous atheist that's in prison.
Our incarcerated atheist, yes. Yeah. When you get out, there's a cold one waiting for you in the bar room.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And with that, I'm Bill.
And I'm Susie.
Stay reasonable, my friends.
You're pissing me off, man. Fuck.
I lay on the door, but you won't let me in. 'Cause you're sick and tired of me breaking. locked all the doors from the front to the back. It left me a note telling me I should pack. I walk in the bar and the fellas all cheer. Order me up whiskey and beer. You ask me why I'm writing this song. Fuck you, I'm drunk for my beer down the sink. I got more in the trunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. And I'm going to be drunk till the next time I'm drunk. You've given me options. You say I must choose between you and the liquor. Then I'll take the rule. Jump in. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Pour my beer down the sink. I've got more in the trunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Yeah.